You're listening to an On the Move Media Co. production.
Our tagline here is "Be courageous," but it's more than a tagline. It's that there's always fear, and there's always things that get in the way, and there's always reasons why we don't need to do the thing that we want to do. But being courageous means there's fear, or all those things in the way, and you do it anyway. So I don't know anything in my life that has happened that I haven't had to take a risk or a leap of faith, and there was definitely like failure as an option, or I did fail at it actually numerous times, several times, whatever, many times until I was successful at it. But those things are the things that light up my life, not the things that dropped into it and that I didn't have to muster up the courage to go after.
That was Bethany Lyons. This is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. Hello, welcome, and welcome back to the Marnie on the Move podcast. I'm your host, Marnie Salop. Today on the podcast, I'm syncing up with Bethany Lyons, owner and CEO of globally renowned New York City headquartered Lyons Den Power Yoga and Lyons Den Digital. Founded in 2013, Lyons Den Power Yoga was the first of its kind, inspired by Baptiste-style yoga with Bethany's personal flair. Bethany is an entrepreneur and a yogi through and through, a proud dog mom and soon-to-be human mom. This is her third time on the podcast. She was on episodes 21 when we first launched and were just a baby podcast, on episode 129 back in 2020 and now today. And here we are catching up in 2024. Bethany and I sync up about what's new at Lyons Den Power Yoga and how she has grown the business and pivoted over the years. She dials listeners into the practice and classes and the studio's philosophy. We chat about her personal practice during her pregnancy and generally what she's really looking forward to in the coming year. I'm sure you will love this conversation. Bethany is always inspiring. If you like what you hear, share it on your social channels. Take a screenshot, put a link in your stories, share it on Instagram, share it on Facebook, share it on LinkedIn, wherever you like to get social. And also, head over to Apple, leave us 5 stars in the ratings and write a review. On Spotify, you can also leave 5 stars. Using the links that we share from our partners always help with the podcast if you're shopping. All right, on to my conversation with Bethany. Well, Bethany, it is so awesome to have you on the Marnie on the Move podcast for a third time.
Oh, wow. Third time's the charm, yeah?
Yeah, that's what they say. It feels like we were just doing the interviews yesterday, but yet it was like the first one was in 2018 when I first started my podcast, episode 21.
Okay.
The second one, I think, was episode 129, and that was like when you just launched digital.
Got it. Yes. And that pandemic was, style.
Yeah, and that was before the pandemic. I think that was before the pandemic. No.
Mm-mm.
It was 2021.
Yeah.
And here we are, 2024. I feel like you always have something new and exciting happening. Yeah, dial me into what's new and exciting.
Well, what's new and exciting?
Yeah, what's new
I mean,
and
what's
exciting?
New and exciting with
Lyons
with
Den
Lyons
Power
Den
Yoga
is we were in a, you know, I think as a lot of small businesses were for a long time, especially in NYC, we were in a getting out of a hole pattern for a while there, digging out and trying to rebuild. And then this fall, we just opened a new location, a new brick and mortar in Bryant Park. It's on West 39th between 5th and 6th. And it feels really good to be moving forward versus just digging out.
Yeah.
And it was a very different opening, and it's a very different neighborhood than we've ever been in before. The opening was 6 weeks from keys to doors open.
Wow.
Which is normally like 6 to 8 months.
Right.
And so we didn't have a big long runway with that, but we had a really good time with it. And we shot a music video to market it and launch it because the address is 54 West 39th Street. So we call it Studio 54.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
So we did like a whole Studio 54 themed video and utilized kind of the talents of our own team. We have so many performers and just really talented. We have a really talented choreographer who is also one of our teachers here, and a lot of performers within our own staff. So it was super fun to do that. So that's something that's brand new here. And it's nice to be in growth mode with our team. So the actual staff is growing, and our teaching team has therefore grown too, because we have more opportunity.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you're also expecting a baby.
Oh, yes. Pregnant. I'm also expanding.
Yeah. So it's like all but all at once, right?
Yes,
like
all the expansion. So I was in my first trimester during the opening of that studio. I highly do not recommend that.
Yeah.
But that was just what happened.
Right.
And yeah, we are at 32 weeks now.
Amazing. So when are you due? Because I can't count.
It's the best due date. Ready? 4/24/24.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you do like the numerology and everything around that already?
Well,
or?
No.
No.
No. I have to be malleable and roll with what's happening and, you know, equanimous about all the things.
So. Got it. So speaking of like malleable and rolling with what happens, I mean, the last 5 years, I'm just dialing it back and rewinding for a second because, you know, I know that a lot of my listeners follow your story, especially New Yorkers, right, that practice with you. But it hasn't been like the easiest 5 years, but it's also been an amazing 5 years. But I'll let you sort of share. How have you been able to really, you know, being over a decade in your practice, like how have you been able to leverage all of the yoga that you have studied, that you have taught in that sort of period between the pandemic and all the things that have been happening to where we are now, and what sort of yoga lessons did you lean into?
Wow, okay, that's a lot.
It's like 75 questions in one. It's very Marnie on the move.
So, you know, I really utilize the tools that we have in this practice on the regular, on the daily. I mean, I think the whole idea of particularly asana practice, I mean, it's only one of the eight limbs and, you know, a piece of yoga, but definitely asana practice, I view it like it's a microcosm of the greater piece. And it's great to try things out on that little tiny rectangle.
Right.
Whether it's like, I'm going to take my foot off the floor for the first time in crow pose, or, you know, I'm going to take a leap of faith and take a leapfrog. Or, you know, I'm getting on the mat and modifying in a really different way because I'm working with an injury, or now I'm pregnant, or whatever it is. And the ability to be able to transfer those things off the mat.
Right.
So if I'm able to, you know, try on something new or roll with it there, then I can do that elsewhere in my life.
Right.
And you know, a keystone pillar of our practice is drishti, which is, I mean, baseline is where you set your eyes, but it's really
right.
What your focus is. Like,
right.
What am I focused in on? And what is my drishti? What is my, where am I going? And so when, for example, 1 month prior to the pandemic, our studio was on fire, you know, my drishti wasn't on, like, the calamity of it and the, you know, the sort of the trauma of it, but really like what needs to happen. We
right.
were in the middle of a 300 hour. We needed a space. Like what do I need to do to move this forward?
Right.
And that was really how I took on the pandemic. You know, it was like one day at a time, what do we need to do right now to make this happen? And then coming out of it. I mean, it's been the same. And we've had a lot of changes. We lost a location. You know, I gave up our Tribeca location. It was two floors and it was a beast of a studio.
Right.
And also, like most of Tribeca moved out.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody left,
you know. And I knew that, not that it wasn't going to come back, but I knew it was going to be definitely a period of time before that came back
mm-hmm.
in the way that it needed to. And I just don't have that bandwidth in, you know, a chunk of change just sitting somewhere.
Right, right.
So I had to, you know, in order to protect our viability as a business, I was like, you just got to let go. So as soon as that happened, it was actually like a huge weight off me. And then I was really able to focus in on our Chelsea location, focus in on our Lions Den digital platform, and then look ahead to like, well, where are we going to grow next?
Right.
And that all comes from putting attention on what I want versus what I don't want.
Right.
And looking for the possibility, looking for the solution versus staying in a modality of complaint or what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of those like lenses, we could
mm-hmm.
say,
yeah,
are very yogic.
Yeah.
You know, it's non-attachment. It's like, oh, but it shouldn't be this way. Oh, this shouldn't have happened to us. Oh, this shouldn't. It's like, but it did. So what are we going to do about it?
Right. Like, what's the solution?
Yeah.
You're so good at that, though, because, I mean, you know, you're a business owner. You're going to be a mom. You're a dog mom. Mm-hmm. You're in a new relationship. Like, you have so many things going on, and, like, you're just so good at, like, just, I only know this from your Instagram, right? But I mean,
yeah.
You know, I've been following along all this time, and it's like, you know, as much as there's chaos going on around you, you're so good at like staying focused and finding solutions. I'm sure that's Instagram, and it's probably like not the same thing in your head all the time, but.
Well, I mean, I don't really like to share things that aren't real, to
right.
be honest. So, I mean, am I just like all the time, just the most focused individual, you know, 100% of the day? No, but generally speaking, is that really
yeah.
like how I show up? Yeah. Just like who I am in the classroom is who I am. Now, I might be a little bit more casual in my speech. I might share different things with my, you know, like best friends than
right.
I'm going to when I'm in the front of the room. But I'm the same person.
Yeah.
That I am here. You're not going to have me at the front of the classroom and then you go outside, you're like, who is this woman?
Yeah.
Never met her before. And I know that on social there, obviously there's like a highlight reel, but I share a lot of stuff that's really not in any sort of highlight, but it's what's real and true for me. And it helps me process things to write.
Yeah. You're
and
a great
to
writer.
Share. Thank you.
Yeah.
To write and to also share those things, and I think it's a really powerful practice for mm-hmm. us in connection, which is yoga, to be able to share not only the highlights, like, oh, look at this great new thing I have going on,
right,
but also like I'm, you know, I was in my second trimester and my absolute, you know, I mean, she's my best friend, she was my like soul being, Josie. She was my first dog, but I don't think I ever even referred to her as a dog. I remember
right.
like Jay being like, do you need to take the dog out? I was like, do you mean Josie? Like, I don't know. Like, I just, we had a very special connection, and she was in my life for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened the studio. I did everything with her.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize how much I did with her. And she died rather suddenly. And I was in this like really weird space of having one of the greatest times of my life. I just opened this new studio and I'm in the second trimester and I'm finally like not vomiting and feeling better. And I should be so happy.
Yeah.
And we're heading into the holiday season and I'm a holiday girl and like all those things. And I was just taken down to, I don't know, not even the knees. I was like, I was
yeah.
just down and out. And I was, it's the most palpable, tangible grief I have ever gone through. And I think actually through that grief, I kind of got to grieve a lot of things.
Right.
Maybe that
yes.
have happened. But that's the dichotomy of life. You know, there's like, it's not all good and it's not all bad. It's not all happy and it's not all sad. It's all of those things all at the same time, and being able to be in the moment with that.
Yeah.
And in one moment really cry and you know, use up an entire box of tissues, and in the next moment be able to feel this little guy kick and be like, wow, this is crazy. Yeah. And, you know, be so amazed with where my life is now as compared to where it was, you know, just a few years back personally.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's life. Life be lifing, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's great. I think, you know, and during our last conversation on the podcast, something you said to me, I've literally thought about it every day, and I think about it every day because I did my yoga teacher training, and I just, like, want to thank you for this because also to your point of, like, life is life and, like, life is yoga and kind of leaning into all of that stuff, it's that I did my yoga teacher training and I've not really taught any yoga classes because I just have another career, yeah. Right? Like I did it for
asana
the
asana in the room. Yeah.
Asana in the room. Right. And so you had said to me that like, Marnie, you use your yoga practice every day in your business. And I was like, it was like my aha moment. Mm. And I literally like, thank you for that because like even during the pandemic, I was like, use yoga, like find your yoga. Like every day though, you know, I'm constantly, you know, as a business owner also, like constantly thinking, oh, this didn't happen or this happened. And I always am reminding myself to like find what's positive about a situation and try to be solution oriented for things that don't work instead of like freaking out and staying in the minutiae and, mm-hmm. you know, having spiraling in those.
Yeah.
And that's really like, I think so much of what I learned from yoga.
Yeah, it's applicable. If we don't actually apply it outside of the yoga room, the studio, then we're missing the plot.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and yoga looks different times. I mean, like, it just does.
I think everybody needs to, like, practice yoga or, like, read one of my favorite yoga books, and I didn't write this down, so of course I'm going to, you'll be able to, it's by, and I don't know if this is not politically correct anymore, BKS Iyengar.
Yeah.
He wrote, what was his first book?
Light on Yoga.
Yeah, that's like one of the best.
It's amazing yoga
books I've ever read.
Iyengar has been, one of the most amazing teachers.
Yeah.
You know, we learn from teachers are not deities.
Right.
Teachers are not perfect people. Teachers are people, and they inspire us or they help us grow in certain ways, just like a coach does. It doesn't mean the coach is a perfect person or doesn't. And so this isn't to like, I don't know, sweep under the rug or anything that you've ever had from any teacher really, but we have to like, what did I get from this,
right.
this thing and not put our, every single teacher, every single mentor, every single coach we've ever had, anyone that we look up to in any realm, and then there's one thing that is not in alignment and we just like throw everything out. It's not,
I think that has happened a lot over the past few years.
I think it's wild and crazy
and
unfortunate. And that's again, not to discount accountability and all of that good
right,
stuff and
course.
All those buzzwords, but it's to a point where, I mean like, you know, We're just looking for what anyone does wrong at this
point. Because they are, yes. Talk to me about, you're speaking of yoga and philosophy and practice, mm-hmm. you know, talk to me about your philosophy here at Lion's Den Power Yoga, the kind of yoga you practice.
Or what we do here.
Yeah, what you
so
do.
So we do what we have done from the jump. We've been open for, we just celebrated our 10-year Deniversary, call it. And it's Baptiste yoga. The methodology works if you work it. It's guided me through not only asana practice, but my business, my life, my divorce, I went through a divorce without lawyers using Baptiste methodology. And because we were on the same page about that.
Wow.
Which is like pretty impressive, right? Like what are we a yes for? What are we a no for? What do we need to give up? And we're ready now to deal with it. And that was it. And we really stayed true to that. So it has informed, you know, really every piece of my life. It's also very easy to make decisions in a business when you're talking about, so there's like three themes in Baptiste yoga, be a yes, give up what you must and come from your ready now. And being a yes is like, what are you for? What do you say you're for?
Yeah.
And so when things are showing up that you're not really for, it's very, you have to be a no for a lot of things to be a yes for something.
Okay.
And so, for example, if you have someone on your staff that is, we'll just use like gossiping.
Okay.
You have a person on your staff that's like gossiping, and that's like their way of being. And you coach them, and you talk to them, and you go, hey, this is not what we're about here. What we're about here is community and connection and speaking straight to each other. And if there's an issue, you go, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then either they take that coaching and they get on board, or they don't.
Right.
And then we have a second conversation. We go, hey, this is really important. I'm telling you, this doesn't work. And the third conversation is, I'm a yes for clear communication and a safe environment and a great team that supports each other, which means I'm a no for you being a part of it right now. It's just that simple.
Right.
End of conversation. It's not dramatic. It's not, it makes things very clear.
So if it's not moving you forward in a positive direction, or it's just something you're not on board with, like you need to get rid of it.
Then it's time to move on,
yeah.
You know? So that's the style we have practiced. It's the style we teach here. We stay really true to it. I believe in staying true to what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you can't, you know, branch off in certain things, but I think that the impetus to make things new by just doing all different things is not really effective a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I am all about excellence and mastery. So we are about, how can we deliver this better always? How can we master this more versus, well, what new trick or what new thing can we throw
right
at you?
So you're not gimmicky, you're more Never. Like true to the style. And so the classes are, what is the room heated to in the classroom?
Room is somewhere between like 91 and 96. Somewhere around there, depending on the humidity in the room. And that really depends on the tapas that the students are generating.
Right.
A lot of times, because that's the real heat we're looking for. Our classes are all open level. We don't have like levels to the classes, but you can work at your own level. So
right.
we say this is really for anybody. It's very adaptable. It's very modifiable. You can add variation. Go with your bad self, be in full expression. And we are definitely a heated power vinyasa studio. So even though you're invited, it's not for everybody.
Right.
And that's okay too, because we have people sometimes come in like, oh, could you have non-heat classes? Oh, could you do this? Oh, could we do this? And I'm like, no, because it's not what we do. It's like
right.
going to a really great French restaurant and asking them to make you a great bolognese.
Right.
It's like,
this is
no.
Not.
Could that chef do that? Sure. But is that what we do? No.
So I love the energy in the room. You know, I've taken a couple classes here over the years, and it's so funny that you say it's not for everyone, right? Because when I first practiced with you, like I was a little bit, like the heat was hard for me.
Yeah.
Right? And I've always been upfront about that, right? But I love the practice, and you know, Lori loves the practice. So she was the one who kind of got me like coming, my partner, to come to take class. And so, but it's so crazy because I love it now so much. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm older, maybe it's my hormones, but like the heat is really working for me.
That's awesome.
Like it feels great. And I don't know if it's because I'm like such an intense runner or triathlete that now it just feels so good
for me
to relax.
Well, the infrared heat is like, the kind of heat we have here is not the heat that blows at you. It's just heat that you come in, you're like, oh, it's warm in here. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it is more than warm in here. It's like, but it's like sunshine that it heats, you know, objects. It heats our bodies. It doesn't heat the space. So it's not like you're like breathing in this hot air. It's more like it just gets you from the inside out.
It feels so good.
It's fantastic. I mean, I love it for a ton of reasons, but I think it's particularly great for people like us and
yeah.
for people that are New Yorkers, people that are type A squared, type A cubed, all of these people, because it provides an intense enough environment that is supportive at the same time that there's no way in which I or you can really be anywhere else
right.
than very present
right.
because you're up against something. And so you have to focus on your breath. You have to focus in on a drishti point. You have to like spread your toes and be in your foundation. You can't be like, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? You will just be like yoga roadkill.
So totally.
You yeah. have to be present. And so it actually, the intensity of it and the heat of it and the physicality of it provides a mental vacation.
I feel like, you know, that is a really good point. And I feel like when you're ready for something, then you are ready for it.
Yeah.
And I don't think like, you know, I feel like there's just, to me, like just coming back to the practice, it's been amazing because I think like everything you just said, you know, you're focusing on breathing and doing the asanas and not focusing on like what the next thing is. I feel like that a lot in swimming.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, because I don't have my headphones. I don't have my phone. Even on my bike when I go out for a ride, and I'm just saying, using these metaphors because, you know, a lot of my listeners are runners or triathletes. And, you know, and I think that, you know, there's just as someone who's been practicing yoga as long as I have and also an athlete, like without yoga, I could not do any of the things that I do. And I feel like over the past few years, my practice has been like hit and miss.
Yeah.
And I also feel like my training has been hit and miss.
It will, I mean,
it's a game changer.
It will up the ante across the board. I mean, we have plenty of people here who are, I mean, 20-time marathon runners, all that kind of stuff, and a lot of triathletes. And what started happening when people started coming here from those different sects is their time started getting better.
Yeah.
And so then word started spreading like, oh, this actually helps. It's a great, you know, sister or cousin a modality to be a part of, and all of those things. Like you can be in a meditation while moving and swimming. You can
right.
be in that state running. Those are all different modalities of physicalness. You can use the same principles of yoga in. So if getting on the mat is just not your yoga, that's okay too.
Right.
And having an open enough mind to be flexible in your like mindset and flexible in your take on it versus flexible in your body. Because I have a lot of athletes who will come, oh, I can't get on the mat because I'm not flexible enough. Like that's, it's just such a, like, it's the most common thing that I hear as an excuse not to. And it's the biggest reason to get on the mat.
Right.
And then, okay, well, if you can't touch your toes, then bend your knees. Like
there's so many options. Like if you're an athlete, like you shouldn't be making excuses, but I understand.
Yeah.
And then
you got to
like,
find somebody, and you have to find something that works for you too.
Right.
I mean, like you don't have to go from nothing to a 90-minute class with no music. You could try on like a 60-minute class with music. Maybe that will work for you better. You know, like kind of work your way. And also if you try on one type or one instructor or one studio and that doesn't work for you, it doesn't mean yoga in general doesn't.
Right.
We got to like...
There's so many different... kinds of, I mean, yoga is yoga, right?
Right.
But there's so many different
lineages.
Variations
yeah.
and inspirations.
And styles.
Yeah,
yeah,
and styles. I think also the heat is great, you know, for anyone who's like doing training in the summer because you really learn how to breathe in the heat.
Yeah,
and
all
your
conditions.
Body, yeah, can really thrive. And you learn how to hydrate, which is so important, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm selling yoga to my triathlete listeners. Everybody must do yoga. And you, okay, so for anyone who's listening who doesn't live in Manhattan and can't come to Chelsea or Bryant Park, you have an entire suite of digital content.
Yeah, we have a very robust platform. It's called Lion's Den Digital, and we have a whole section in Lion's Den Digital if you're a monthly subscriber that breaks down all the poses like one by one so you can really... If you're brand new to it, you can tap into that. We have everything from 25-minute classes to 90-minute classes. We have classes with music, classes without music, a really great team. And we have new content 7 days a week, plus a library of about 80 classes available all the time. And then we do specific filmed classes that are, you know, content-specific or artist-specific, like, you know, you just can't get enough, even though I can't imagine that you haven't at this point, but like you can't get enough of Taylor and you want to take a Taylor class, we got her.
So you have a Taylor Swift yoga class?
Oh, for sure we do.
That is totally my jam.
It's kind of epic, I have to say.
Yeah. I remember
we did the entire, when she re-recorded Red we did.
Oh, wow. That's it's amazing. Do you, have you promoted that on TikTok to like 16-year-olds? I know a 16-year-old that would do it.
Okay, great. Well, I will tell that to my social media manager. Let her know.
That's so funny. And so do you ever in your IRL, like in-person classes, do you ever switch up the sequencing? Or is it mostly the same sequencing for each class?
So we have a backbone, which is Journey into Power, which is a set sequence. And it can be 20 minutes, it can be 90 minutes, it can be 3 hours. But it has 11 sequences in it, and it's very structured. What we do here is we take that structure, and you will always see that thread of that structure. Mm-hmm. But it's like when I'm teaching new teachers and when I'm teaching my own team about it, I say, Journey into Power is Jingle Bells.
Right.
And you have to know Jingle Bells from front to back. You need to know it in and out. And then once you do, then you can jazz riff off of it.
Okay. I love that.
So, you know, we'll take a tributary out and we'll come back in. You might take a little variation out and you come back in. But you'll never come in here and be like, I have no idea where, like, you know what you're getting to a degree.
Right.
And you know that you're going to do standing poses. You know you're going to do twists. You know you're going to do back bends. You know you're going to do hip openers. Like, you know you're going to start with sun salutations. There's a common thread to it, so you're never going to be like, what was that class?
Right.
And we add variation all the time.
Right. Okay. I mean, I've been to, like, once the heat goes on and you start talking, I completely have no idea what's happening, and I'm just, like, listening and following directions.
Yeah.
And I leave class and I'm like, I don't even remember what asanas I did. Well, I don't know that. That's the story of my life.
Yeah,
anyway,
we will never leave you half-baked. I don't think Yoga Brain is only you. We find blocks downstairs at the bottom of the stairs. People leave. They don't even know what happened to them.
Yeah.
So I get it.
It's a great feeling, I have to say, though. And then in terms of, like, you know, for my athlete listeners, what do you think are some of, like, the top maybe 5 or 6 asanas that every athlete needs to be practicing that they could go either to one of your digital classes or they can, like, Google the asana, because everyone does that. But what are they?
I mean, you're one-stop shop, not one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
No.
We're not talking about, like, past musicians now.
No. Just your one-stop shop pose is downward facing dog.
Okay.
And then it's going to engage pretty much your entire body. It's going to, it counteracts so much that we do in life. It helps open up hamstrings. It's all the things, number one. Another, like, has to happen is a forward fold. And a forward fold, feet hip width distance, you can take a block between your thighs, so you squeeze your legs, so you take it out of your back. It's really important that the forward fold is not coming from the mid or upper back, but really from the hip hinge at the top of the thigh bone.
Like a deadlift.
Yeah, and so you can bend your knees as much as you want, so your ribs come down onto your thighs. You could have your hands on blocks, hands on the floor, and then as you start to open up, then maybe the legs straighten a little bit more and you really ground into your feet. So a rag doll, forward fold, a downward facing dog, hip openers. I mean, there's so many things that are hip openers that we don't really think about as hip openers. I mean, back bends are hip openers,
right.
Warriors are hip openers, all those things are. But I think taking on crescent lunge, which is
that's always so hard for me.
You drop your back knee though,
okay,
down either to the ground or a rolled up towel or like a cushy block. We have kind of cushy blocks here for this reason, and then you really engage pelvic floor, and you can get into psoas, you can get into hip flexors and all the things.
Yeah,
which is, it's hard. It's a deep, deep, deep muscle, really hard to get to. You can get into your hip flexors, your groin, so that's a great pose to stay in.
Crescent lunge, okay.
But I'm modifying it with like a knee down and real emphasis on this front of the pelvis lift. And then, I mean, the pigeon poses, half pigeon, half double pigeon. And you don't have to be on the ground. You know, you can bring yourself up on blocks. You can have your legs stacked. You can stay upright. But those hip openers, they're great to do during also, like, your favorite show. You're watching, like, a half hour, whatever. You're on Netflix. You're on whatever you're on, Hulu. And you put on a timer, and you're 10 minutes with the right leg. And you just watch a show, and then the timer goes off. Oh, switch legs. 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be a big deal.
Right. like just do any kind of moderation.
Like, exactly, modification.
Modification, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, not moderation.
And then podcast speak.
Yeah, totally. And then in terms of, you know, speaking of like specific asanas, like also a big part of yoga is breath work and breathing. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of talk lately in the athlete community around nose breathing, which is something that we do in yoga. Mm-hmm. It's just part of breathing. It's like you come into class and you inhale and you exhale through your nose.
For this practice that we do, this is a specific type of pranayama. So pranayama is like breath work, right? Breathing techniques. And there are some that are not that, right? There's some that are belly breath, breath of fire, kundalini, things like
right,
that.
Right.
But ujjayi breath, which is the breath that we practice here, it's actually a throat breath, but it's in and out through your nose.
Okay.
So there's a little constriction in the back of the throat at the glottis, and it creates like an underwater sound, talking about swimming, where you can hear that breath in and out, and it creates texture and sound and balance and focus, and it also generates heat. It's really good for regulation as well. But that's something that is a thread throughout the entire practice until you hit Shavasana, and then you just let your breath go. But having control over your breath is huge. And really focusing in on your exhale and getting your exhale all the way out is what will tone your diaphragm the best.
Okay.
To then allow you to breathe more deeply. And it will also allow you to slow your breath down more quickly than focusing in on inhales.
And so now, just like in the whole like world of athleticism, people are talking about nose breathing, mm-hmm. like when they're running, like inhale and not ujjayi or ujjayi breathing.
But, no, you're not doing that.
No, but like it's interesting though, like how all these things from yoga are like always coming up for athletes, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of people who listen to this that are yoga practitioners that are looking to take their practice to a next level. Some teachers maybe that are doing teacher training. And I know you just have a new teacher training that you're doing. And this is the first one after the pandemic?
It is. So I did one that was virtual with several other studio owners, which was super fun. We called it Reinvented during the pandemic.
Okay.
Which we had 50 people in it.
And wow, that's a big class.
Yeah, it was a big teacher training online. And it was Tammy Schneider from Cleveland Yoga. We had Patty Ivy from Down Dog in DC, and then we had Cindy Weiss from Breathe in upstate New York, and myself. And that was something that would have never happened had the pandemic not happened, because it was like you have all these lead facilitators all coming together, and we did that. So that was really cool and different and fun and unique in the environment. And also we weren't in person, which that, there's something to that. There just is, you know, as much as it's fantastic to have all of this technology and be able to be on all these Zooms and all that stuff, you have to have like just like touch
in person,
you know, like in person.
It's such a big difference.
It's such a different thing in communication. So when we first opened back up after the pandemic and people started asking fairly quickly about teacher training, I was like, people are not even ready for a teacher training. People are in such a trauma response right now. People can't even be in a room together and look at each other, let alone breathe together. When people first started coming in, it was just like, okay, you're gonna look at your neighbor. Just look at them. Look back at the thing. Let's breathe in a room together. I mean, really had to like baby steps back in. We were not guns blazing with classes right at the get-go. And so as that then progressed, and then more people started getting in the room, and then people were more comfortable being around people, then it became like, okay, this is now accessible. I also do a lot of coaching. I give a lot of feedback during teacher training. People were not in a headspace to be receiving feedback. That was not my take on the world.
Right.
Everybody was like losing their mind about every single thing.
Right.
People were very stressed, anxiety levels super high, offended about it. I'm like, how am I going to teach a teacher training right now when I would have to candy coat pretty much anything and everything being said, and that's just not my way.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm kind, but I'm direct. And I don't want to really do, I don't want to do a watered down version of a teacher training. So this felt like, okay, we're ready now. People are like raring to go. And I have to say, this is the most game like in it to win it group I've ever had. While there's still, you know, there's trepidation around getting at the front of the room or anything like that, there hasn't been really any pushback to it. They are like, they're game for it. They're like here to do the thing.
And that's amazing.
Is so fun because then it allows us to do so much more. We've already had them, they've already taught like full rooms of people, like the full room of people, which is not normal for a 200 hour.
It's a 200, I was gonna ask you.
Yeah. It's 200 hour. We're going into weekend 6 of 8.
Wow. And so you read a lot of books and do a lot of other work besides just asana practice. So what are some of the books that you study?
So, Light on Yoga for sure, right, is one of them. Have this very specific anatomy book we're using. What else are we using? And then we have a specific sutra book that we're using because instead of doing sort of a weekend where we fire hose you with anatomy and physiology and then like a weekend where we like delve into all the history and all the things and the sutras, we're really kind of peppering it out throughout.
Okay.
Which is awesome because I have a team here who can do that.
That's great.
Which is amazing, which is not usual.
Right. And so during your teacher training, it's 200 hours, you'll have asana practice and teaching, and the students will have to, I talk with my hands so much. The students
I
will
do
have
too.
To, I know, but like if you ChatGPT me, it's like Marnie Salop talks to their hands. That you're using, do you use a Bhagavad Gita or you don't really?
We have in the past, we didn't.
You didn't?
We have required readings and then we have also, here are optional or here's, you know, other things to look into.
Yeah.
But we're really focusing in on as much as we can do in real time and in real life as possible.
Yeah.
I'm constantly on the search and the hunt for like what is the latest book that I love and then can share from it. Like right now I'm reading Atlas to the Heart or Atlas, whatever. Brené Brown's like newest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's fantastic. And a lot of it is so, so much, you know, there's so many things that correspond yoga-wise.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that sort of modern twist that you bring in like current literature.
I mean, but that's for my own.
Right.
I'm always in that search and in that hunt and what I watch and what I take in and who I'm interested in listening to, following, whether it's, you know, comedy or a book or a show or a movie or anything, you know.
Yeah.
I'm also reading a book called I'm Not a Mourning Person, but like mourning grief.
Okay.
That is fantastic.
Really?
As well. Yeah, right now. And a lot, it all relates back to these same principles.
And so how are you feeling now? I mean, obviously you're pregnant and you're practicing.
Yeah,
are
you still, how's your practice? I'm hot, actually.
It's hot. So. Yeah, it is hot. We turned off the fans. I'm like, how are you feeling?
Because
I'm like, I know that she must be dying right now. But so how are you feeling in terms of like your practice and being pregnant and how has that journey been?
Well, I was really practicing pretty avidly through my first trimester when I wasn't feeling like super ill, but you know. And then I was feeling good about it moving in the second trimester, and then really I just was on my couch for about a month after Jos. That was just what was happening, and that's what needed to happen during that time. And now I'm still practicing, but it's modified in a way that I didn't expect. So, meaning I can't count on it. Like some days I get up and I'm ready to go. I can like do all the things. And other times, even though I'm modifying, obviously, I'm like taking my feet wider and I'm like, you know, there's a million things that I've changed up. However, some days I can take 2 stairs at a time and I'm great and I'm running around and I can get on the mat and practice. And then there's other days where I'm like, can I shuffle to the top of this mat? Is it possible? And I take 1 set of stairs and I'm out of breath.
Wow. Okay.
And that is, or I go to do something, to engage something, and it just doesn't happen. Like I don't have the strength because my strength is being utilized to like, I don't know, build a brain that day. You know, like that's what's happening. And I can't, I've always been able to, get my giddy up no matter what,
or get
my second wind, or if I need to make something happen, I can. And a couple weekends ago, I was assisting one of the classes for teacher training, and I knew I was going to modify how I was assisting or whatever, but I went to assist someone in chair pose, and I went to activate and then have this person come back and activate my legs, and I just didn't have the strength. And it's one of the first times I've ever been my legs are not strong enough to do this right now. And I had to literally I stayed with them, but just dropped down to one knee. And then right after that, I went out of the room and was like, I have to go get a coconut water. That is what is happening right now. And it was I've been a very strong person.
Yeah.
I mean, since I was four, I don't know. I can't remember any time I haven't been physically really strong. My leg's not strong or whatever. And I just, so I have to be, hey, I think I'm going to do this today.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to try this today. And then if I do, great. And if that's not what's happening today, well, that's not what's happening today. So I've really had to give up more control than ever.
Okay.
Because
that's hard for the type A.
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of rolled with it.
Yeah.
I have to say pretty well. I'm, just trying to go, oh, okay, this is what's happening right now. And you're also doing my dad, he just keeps going, you're making a person. It's the most important job. You're making a person.
That's so cute.
So I just, every time I'm like, oh yeah, I'm making a person. That's what's happening right now. That's why I can't do this warrior one.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, this has been so wonderful to connect with you. I'm so excited. I'll have to come visit you in Bryant Park.
It's a beautiful beautiful studio.
I love Chelsea. I mean, I love coming back here. This is my old neighborhood.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
I mean, but we're New York is great.
New York is awesome.
And New York ain't dead.
No, it's not. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Is there anything, any last advice or words you have for my listeners?
I don't know if I've said this on prior ones, but it's really what we stand behind here, which is just a phrase. I mean, our tagline here is be courageous, but it's more than a tagline. It's that there's always fear and there's always things that get in the way and there's always reasons why we don't need to do the thing that we want to do. But being courageous means there's fear or all those things in the way and you do it anyway. So I don't know anything in my life that has happened that I haven't had to take a risk or a leap of faith, and there was definitely failure as an option, or I did fail at it actually numerous times, several times, whatever, many times until I was successful at it. But those things are the things that light up my life, not the things that dropped into it and that I didn't have to muster up the courage to go after.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. If you like what you hear, leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social.